My life is my life.
So I think it's strength, life, light.
Yeah, okay. He's the image of the Father. He's the light of the world to come. He's my strength. He's my life. He's my light.
Let's behold the Lamb.
The first scripture we read says that he's the image of the Father. Mm-hmm. He's the light.
Sorry, what scripture?
Song.
Did I say
song.
Scripture?
Yeah, a song. Then.
Prophetic. But yeah, it's a song. Mm. He's the image of the Father. Mm. He's the light of the world. He's my strength and he's my life. In Psalms 27, I think David starts by telling us that the Lord is the light of my life.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There is a connection between light and strength.
Oh, yes.
there's a connection between the light of God's word and strength. And let's go to Isaiah quickly. Before I title what or bring forth what the Lord has placed in my heart, which is connected really. Isaiah 26. Verse 20. For dear, let's say amen.
Amen.
I find it interesting that this scripture came up again. And it says, come, my people, enter thou into the chambers.
Hallelujah.
And shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be passed.
Hallelujah.
The first thing we must see in this scripture is that it is an admonition to my people, not the people.
Yes.
Not everyone, but what?
My
people.
People.
It is a personal communion. It is a charge.
Hallelujah.
To people that matter.
Jesus.
So it's not a thing of fear. It's not a thing of worry. It is a thing of delight because you are being called into a separate place. Like Eli said, it is a time of deep intimacy with God. And Eli resounded something that is very important while he was praying. He said, we need to take advantage of this time because it is for a little time. It will not stay forever. And it must be clear in your heart that things will not remain the same after this little time.
Amen. Amen.
So what you do in this period, what you do in this phase, this time of hiding yourself, is very important.
It matters a lot.
We cannot afford in any way to play around or to dwell in any form of carnality. Because, like, see, this is strategic of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
It's strategic. The same water that consumed the world lifted up the ark.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It is strategic. There is no fear in this discussion because it is dealing or is dealing with what? My what?
People.
People.
Hallelujah.
And I'll go straight to what the Lord has placed on my heart, which is very interesting. Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon 1.
Hallelujah.
Songs of Solomon 1. Songs of Solomon. We'll try to stick to a charge today. I don't a short charge, maximum 1 hour. And we'll trust the Lord for help. So I'll read from verse 1 and just follow me closely. The songs of songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth.
Hallelujah.
For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee.
Amen.
The king has brought me into his chambers.
Thank you, Jesus.
We shall be glad and rejoice in thee.
Amen.
We will remember thy love more than wine. And that on the upright love thee.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My little charge today is the king has brought me into his chambers.
Hallelujah. Blessed be.
The king has brought me into his chambers. We did not just go into a hiding place. It was a strategic move of the Lord. Scripture says when they say there is a casting down, we will say there is a what?
A lifting up.
It is strategic. We are not people of chance.
No.
Now, the what did I say the title was again?
The king has brought me into his chambers.
His inner chambers, please. His inner chambers. I love the way Young Literal Translations put it. inner chambers. It is a place of secrecy, depth. Like Eli was stating earlier, intimacy. This is a place for a man and his wife. This is a place also for someone of esteem. You can deal with things pertaining to government, things pertaining to just the general things in the parlor. But when you take someone into your room, it's a different discussion. There is a depth that ought to come in. And let me say this, the person taking you into the room is very important. If it was an ordinary man, there would be a problem. If he said, the man has taken me into his inner chambers, it would have been a problem. No, he says what? The what? The king. The personality is important. The king. The king has taken me into his inner chambers. Someone who has conquered. Someone who has a kingdom. Someone who is victorious on all levels. Not just any man. He has taken me into where, sir?
The same thing.
But it gives us an idea of depth. It gives us an idea of depth. It gives us an appreciation for what the Lord is looking to do. You see in scriptures, all through scriptures, that whenever the inner chambers is brought into view, it is, in fact, that was where Joseph went to cry. When his brothers came to Egypt.
Right.
That was a secret place for him. It's a time of investment. The Lord wants to invest in us. And we must be, like Eli said, we must be deliberate. We must take advantage of it. Yes. It is, there is nothing of fear involved in this matter. It is strategic. Because the world is moving in an interesting direction. And the way we come out of this experience must be instructed by the Lord. We must be invested of the Lord. We must draw strength as much from him in this time. Because we are meant to go in and come out differently. The king has brought me into his inner chambers. The one who said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
That means he can only come and speak about his victory. Whatever he's going to be discussing with you in his inner chambers will be specific. It cannot be earthly. It cannot be downwards. It cannot pull you down. He can only speak of the things that pertain to his finished work. Things that strengthen you. Because he is a king. He's not an ordinary man. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we said we ought to be deliberate. We ought to be very deliberate. Because the times we are in, the Lord is preparing his bride. He's separating us aside. I want to make it very, very practical. I don't just want to give an end time or a prophetic touch to it alone. Let's draw it now and see how this connects to us. We see a type of this. We won't go into the story. We can't read it because of time. Between Vashti and Hadassah, Esther. There was a separation. And while they were separated, because Vashti had fell off, Esther separated herself and there was an investment for a time. The Bible says that Esther was put in the Lord's, in the king's house. That should be Esther 2. We cannot go to that place now because of time. What I want to pass across is the place of deliberacy, because something is going on in the chambers. Anyone who is serious with the Lord right now, we know that you ought not to be playing around, because the chamber is a place of fellowship. He is calling us, and it is to come and intertwine, to mingle with him.
Oh, yes.
To be one with him. And there is grace for for intimacy in this time.
Oh yes.
There is grace. There's so much grace for prayer. There's so much grace for the study of the word.
Yes.
There's so much grace for worship. Separate time and see. There's so much grace. But we must be deliberate. Because the King has brought us where?
Into his chambers.
Let's say that together. The King has brought us into what?
Into his chambers.
Inner chambers.
His inner chambers. It's a privilege.
Oh, yes.
And let me say this. Nobody goes into a king's chambers unprepared. We are not to come empty-handed in this time. Because he is a king. You must honor him.
Yes.
You must give him his due place. What are we to do? Because we want to show him who he is, and we want to show him that we are serious about the fact that he has called us or brought us into his inner chambers. Now, Eli made reference to Noah while he was praying. And we'll take an instruction from the book of Genesis. Today's meeting is very instructive.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll take an instruction from the book of Genesis. Genesis 6. If there's any way I can watch the time.
You can put the phone closer to you.
Okay. Is there? Okay. What's the time? 11:26. 11:26. Good. What to be done before 12?
Let's see here. Can also hear.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll bring it back.
Yeah, no problem. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis 6. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we there?
Yeah.
So we all know this story. I don't want to read through it. Maybe we can take some parts here and there, but there's an instruction I want to pick from here. Sorry, I open Numbers. 1 second. Genesis 6. Yes. I'll read verse 5 first. I'll read verse 5-8. Then I'll pick some things going forward. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I made them. Verse 8. Let's read it together. But Noah found grace
in the eyes of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The word Noah means rest. And prophetically, it speaks of people who have come into rest through Christ. Of course, we know that God is not looking to destroy all of mankind again. This is only giving us a pointer towards the operations of times like this. And it can be instructive. We see in a time where iniquity has abound and become a norm in the face of earth. And what happens is that creature rebels against itself. Man, beast, everything rebels against itself. Warfares here and there, because things are out of balance. And sometimes the Lord uses that as a means of judgment, and he uses that as a means to turn man to himself. He says, once man will shake the heavens and the earth, and the desires of the nation shall come to me.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
So it is not out of place. It is not out of place. But what we must know, like we said first at the beginning, it is the King that brought you into his inner chambers. Not yourself. So when we say enter into thy chambers, hide thyself, no, you are going there as a king's, as a personnel brought in by the king. Now, I want us to take an instruction which is crucial to our meditation today. And it was an instruction the Lord gave to Noah when he was going into the ark. I would like us to take a huge leap to verse 21. And I want us to read it together. Verse 21, 1, 2, go. And thou take unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Can someone read this in the NLT or maybe NIV version?
Says, and you are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them.
You are to take every water, every mark, sorry.
Every kind of food.
Every kind of food.
Every kind. Hallelujah.
Every kind.
Balanced
of
diet.
Balanced diet.
Jesus.
Every kind of food. This is not a time to just sit down and maybe we are in isolation, we watch YouTube, you know, we just relax. But the Lord is instructing, as he did with Noah, every kind of food, there are diversities of food. Like we said, we cannot come empty. We cannot afford to do what?
To come empty.
Because we are going into a place of fellowship. And it is what you bring that the Lord will, he will add to it, but he will fellowship with you. He says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart. If any man will open the door, I will do what?
I will come in and sup.
I will come in, right?
Hallelujah.
And sup with him. In other words, I will come and fellowship with him. He will give me and I will give him.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is crucial. All kinds of food, because we need to eat in these times. There is an investment that has to go on spiritually in these times. No man should go into this phase of so-called isolation and come out the same.
No.
All kinds of food. In Isaiah 55, I'm being careful not to jump to many scriptures. This is 11:32. In Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 4, I believe, we see things listed as, we see things like milk, we see things like wine, we see bread. What else? There are two more. Water. In Proverbs 13, it tells us about the word of God being as honey. That is another type. We have spoken about this before in church. But there are varieties of food.
Amen. Amen.
And what the Lord wants you to do in this time is to gather those things. Gather them. You know, it's very good to seek new revelation. But there's food that has come and it has been stored before. Gather them. Gather them. And in this period, begin to interact with them in your secret place. And I will tell you what we will do. That's what we will look into next.
So you said the word that God has given you, right?
Yes. The things that have been spoken before.
Thank you, Jesus.
In fellowship.
Thank you, Jesus.
In your personal time. Messages that have stood out. Things you know that they can benefit you. That message that when they were ministering it at that point in time, it was as if your heart was burning. But after that Sunday, you went home. No, the Lord is calling us to gather all kinds of food in this time.
Oh, yes.
Be deliberate. What does this mean? The things that the Lord has spoken before in your notes, those things you have written down, those things he has taught you, take them into the secret place now. It says, when the Spirit of God is come, he will bring into remembrance all things that I have said to you. There are things he has said to you, but he will come and give a refinement and life to it. Because because sometimes things come and we are storing them so that they can be useful for another time. The things you have written down before can be meet in due season, 2 years' time. And the Lord is calling us to gather those things, gather those things. He wants to speak out of those things. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Take the word of God and take materials. There are books. Books that you can invest in at this point in time. One thing I've been encouraging people to do a lot right now is to go back to the foundations. Things like faith. If there is any time you need faith now, is now, is now. Eat faith food, eat faith food. Because it's a food. Maybe at a good time we'll come and discuss the concept of spiritual food well. It's food. You are not. It's not wasting. Gather all of it. Brethren, there is a feast going on in the inner chamber. There is a feast. There is a feast. Anyone who is connected at this point in time, there is a feast. And it's on a one-on-one level. It is going on between you and the king. He says, my heart is indicting a good matter.
Oh, yes.
I speak of those things as touching
the heart of king.
The hearts of king.
Hmm.
There is a feast. There is a feast. The Lord is gathering his people one by one. It is a big room where everybody is involved, but he's dealing with us on an individual level. He's speaking things that matter. Gather all kinds of what?
Food.
Take books. Take books in this time. Take those messages and begin to look into them deliberately. And you will see a unique light coming like never before. It will expound and it will be more real and impactful in this time. So we have listed some things. The word of God, of course, being primary. Another one is materials. Books from the past, and also messages that you have heard in church, and both the ones the Lord has taught you in your secret place. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, I will gather all kinds of food.
I will gather all kinds of food.
Shout it one more time.
I will gather all kinds of food.
All kinds of food. It is a potluck for your own self. We must be deliberate, buffet rather. Doing a lot of fasting in this house, so we cannot appreciate that kind of thing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's jump. What happens? What happens when you bring in food? Those things that the Lord has said to you. What happens? What happens when you follow this instruction that was given to Noah? Let's take a huge jump to the New Testament and turn to the book of Luke, Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24. Cannot teach today, so we'll just chat. But there's instructions here and there. So Luke 24, Luke 24 from verse. Luke 24 from verse 28 downwards. And I'll read. Luke 24, yes. And they drew nigh unto the village. Okay, let me start reading from verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and expounded unto them in all the scripture the things what?
Concerning
himself.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Verse 30, let's read it together. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Verse 31, read it together. Want to go. And their eyes were
open
and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
This is loaded. The first thing the scripture starts to tell us about this encounter was that he expounded things in the scripture, not concerning them.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It was about himself, because that is what you need to be focused on.
Oh, yes.
The more you look to yourself, we expound things concerning ourselves too much. I am this, I am that. I am weak. It's good to know the weaknesses and traits, but sometimes you can glorify them.
Oh, yes. That's true.
It's good to take them in prayers. Say, Lord, deal with this, but learn to boast in the Lord. He says, my soul shall make a boast in the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 2. The soul, the place where the Lord is working on, it is not perfect yet, but it can still boast in the Lord, because there is someone who sat and received victory for it. He expounded things concerning who, sir?
Himself.
He is the focus. He is the food. And when we come into the inner chambers, when we bring things as he has instructed us to do, those things that he has said we should gather, when you are expounding on something, you are not necessarily bringing new things. You are just opening up what was already there.
Yeah.
In other words, you did not see it before. Take this time. Take this time. Because the Lord wants to expound. Some of us, we go into our secret. We will not come out the same after the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
New revelations. Depths of scriptures like we have not seen before. And you will come out with new light, new vision, new dreams. He expounded things in scripture concerning himself. And as they drew near, I'm reading verse 29 now. Okay, verse 30. He says, and it came to pass that he sat down at meat with them. And he took what? What
bread.
Did he take?
Bread.
He took what?
Bread.
Bread.
Hallelujah.
First of all, he first points us to the fact that he expounded things concerning what?
Himself.
So, who is the bread of life?
Jesus.
Are we sure about it?
Yeah.
Who is the bread of life?
Jesus.
Can we say it one more time? Who is the bread of life?
Jesus.
He took bread. He took it. He took bread from them. And a picture had already been given of what will happen with that bread. And that is what is being expounded further. He says he blessed it. Then he divided it. He broke it. The bread was whole before. It was there. You are taking that food that you thought you were moving about with. And maybe you did not understand it before. But he came and he divided it. He opened it up. He expounded it. He broke it for them. He broke it and he gave it to them. Revelation knowledge.
Hallelujah.
He gave it to them. He did not hold it back. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And what is the effect? And their eyes were opened and they knew him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the resultant effect of expansion on the Word of God. An expansion on the Word of God. Their eyes were open. Light came forth. Revelation came forth. Because it was not just what they had before they were dealing with. They had the scriptures with them. They had been walking about with the scriptures. But someone needed to come and break it and give it to them. Someone needed to come and expound on it. And it was when he spoke of the things pertaining to himself, symbolically captured in the breaking of bread, the dividing of the world, that light came forth to them. There's something about light coming forth. You know, when we look at the aspect of having faith, what people do a lot is mental assent. I believe the word of God. I believe, they are doubting strong doubt. I believe. Faith is a spiritual thing. There is the aspect of holding on to the word of God. But you realize that the faith the Lord acknowledged the most in scripture was that of the centurion. He said, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. Matthew 10, one of them. The faith of the centurion. And if you notice in that story, that faith was birthed out of understanding. It was not just mental assent that I believe. No, it came as a result of light, a comparison of spiritual things and physical things. So he saw that this man is a man of under authority. I understand what that means because I myself am a man under authority. It was easy for him to respond now in faith that, no, don't come to my house. That's a waste of time. Just speak your word only. But how did he get there? Light. His eyes were open. Revelation knowledge. That is why scripture says that faith comes by the hearing. By hearing, and how deep would it?
Faith coming by hearing,
yeah.
And hearing.
The and
word
hearing
word
the word of God. The and hearing the there, the word rather, is the rhema. Not the logos. This does not give you faith. This is the thought of God. It is light that brings about faith. It is revelation knowledge that brings about faith. That is why the prayer we must continue to pray is that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened this time.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because he wants to be seen. He wants to expound things to us. Faith will not be difficult for us in this time.
Amen.
Because he's pouring out the spirit of faith upon the earth. For those who are going into the secret place, for those who are separating themselves, he will come because he's coming to sup with you. It will be so real. It will be so tangible.
Oh, yes.
The things he will speak
yes.
to you will be so... You will find it hard not to believe it.
Oh, yes.
That was what Hebrews captured in Hebrews 11. He says that Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he saw him that was invisible.
Hallelujah.
How do you see something that is invisible?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
It takes revelation knowledge. That means what he saw with his spiritual heart, or his heart rather, was more real to him than the fear of Pharaoh.
Oh, yes.
It tells you about dealing with fear. Revelation knowledge, that's what Hebrews calls the evidence of things not seen. There is an evidence captured in your inner man. You don't have evidence of this of sight, physical sight, but your heart just knows that he knows. That's the effect of rhema. And how did he get there? He says that he broke bread and their eyes were open. Our eyes are open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If there's anything that the Lord is doing in this time, is the proceeding of the word of God. The light of God's word is going in full force. It's going in full force at this point in time. It's going heavily. Because if you see in Isaiah 60, let's read that quickly. Isaiah 60, we'll come back here. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 60.
Thank you, Jesus.
Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 or 61?
Which one?
61. 61? Okay. Let's read 61 to go. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. When there is darkness upon the earth, what the Lord introduces is not just rain or anything. It comes with a matching, even bigger level of light. The people of God begin to experience light on a different dimension. When there is darkness and pestilence in the earth, as you are drawn in into the chambers, what the Lord does is that he introduces you into the realm of light. Something begins to become more real than what you see outside. That is what scripture says, that we look to the things which are unseen. It says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are what? Are eternal. It takes light to look to what is unseen. But it starts by the breaking of the bread. It starts by the breaking of the bread. The Lord comes and he breaks bread in a secret place. You see the scriptures in different light. Those things you wrote down before in your notes, go back to them and see if you will not see something different. Light will surge out of them like never before. And whatever the Lord will give you will be for now. It will be practical, it will be useful. Because you cannot come out of this experience the same way. The world is going in an interesting direction. We must build stature.
Amen.
It is an error to remember or remain a spiritual being in this time. The Lord is building us up into higher understanding. It says that in malice be children, but in understanding be what?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It starts with the breaking, the dividing of the bread. Bring bread into the closet, and the king, because you are coming to his chambers, he's dealing with you on a one-on-one level. It's not a thing of fear. We don't have anything to do. We are not running, this stone will hit me if I don't enter into my hiding place. No, it's different for us. The king brought me himself into his chambers.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I did not go there by myself. He says, draw me after you, and we will run together. He took me there. Fear cannot have anything to do with us in this time. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We must, you see, consciousness, there's an aspect of the mind when dealing, when things of faith come into view. So scripture will tell us that think on these things. Think on these things. Because you can receive something in your heart, and a mindset can block it.
Yes, that's true.
A mindset can fight it. It will wage war. It will resist it, because that's like an operating system. A mindset. That is why we must be deliberate to pull down things. It says bringing into captivity. That is, it's a deliberate thing, and it's violent. You don't bring something into captivity passively. You see a mindset and deal with it. You address it, because it does not align with the word of God in every area of your life. Because there are certain mindsets you have to deal with in the secret place. You have to deal with them. You don't come out of this experience with some mindsets. No. We are going into a new phase. Just the way Noah came out of the ark and a new civilization was about to be formed. We are going into a new phase. The world will not remain the same. It may not look evident on the physical note.
Hallelujah.
But after this, things will change. Things will change. We cannot, if anybody lives as a natural man in the times and season we are going to, it's very dangerous. We must be guided by prophecy, be guided by the light of God's word, His truth. But how does it start? He brought me, the king brought me into his chambers, and I came with bread, and he broke it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So look, we're still in Luke. Luke 24. Verse 31. Luke 24:21. And I like the emphasis on bread. It would have been wine. It would have been anything else, but bread. We emphasize that bread, of course, Jesus is the bread of life. Sometimes that's vague. Someone can just say it. But it just tells you that he is the strength of life. When you eat of him, you have life. You understand? So let's go to the story of Elijah and see what this bread is meant to do. Elijah 19. Blessed be the name of the Lord. First Kings. Hallelujah.
I wrote Elijah
19. If that's what you will remember, it's all right. First Kings 19, verse 7. Yeah. Okay. And let's read it together. One, two, go.
And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is far.
Verse 8. It's too great for thee, sorry. Verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that night, 40 days and 40 nights, unto Horeb, the mount of God. I think we skipped some things.
Yeah, it's verse 6 and 5.
Verse 5. He says that as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on loaf. On coals. And a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down. I'm looking for something. Which story talks about a raven drinking?
It's still Elijah, but it's at the when this thing started, the first wave of the this thing. So you have to go back to a few chapters
before. Yeah. Let's take something there. Sorry. Can someone Google that scripture? We'll come back to this because this is still instructive.
I think it's still 17 actually.
17?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he says, I think you can start reading from 8. Where that's where that's the instruction to go to Zidon and then there, I believe the From one. Yes.
Okay. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto her, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no Jew nor rain these years, but according to my word.
Keep going.
I'll start verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Shebrit, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him what? Bread and flesh in the morning. And bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brooks.
Hallelujah.
And it came to pass for a while that the brooks dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now we must remember that Elijah was also in hiding. He was in some sort of way hiding from indignation too. And you see that he was there and the Lord was aware. But the Lord used that as an opportunity to show him his benevolence in the place of famish and hunger in the land. A raven brought bread and flesh, and there was water to drink from. There's a lot to take from there, but the emphasis is on bread. There is unique bread brought to us in this time, in this season. There is unique bread. There is unique bread. And it is brought in the secret chambers. Now, if you go back to verse 19, chapter 19, the instruction is clear. From what? Because this is the angel coming from the Lord's presence. If the raven had mouth to talk, he would say the same thing this angel said. Like if he could speak like a human being, that's what I mean. Because the bread and the food was from the same source. So the intention must be the same. So what does he say? He says, and the angel came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and what?
And eat.
Arise and eat. For the journey is too great for thee. There is a journey ahead of us. There is a journey. We were at a meeting, we had Bible study yesterday, and Auntie Buki said something that the Lord said to her concerning the house, that there's going to be trials. It's not out of place. And Eli was saying earlier that we are not fighting a lost battle. They are trials because they are meant to strengthen your faith. So there are going to be trials, but you must go into such trials with your faith well built up. You must have eaten. You must have fed on faith food and so much wisdom of God. And when you go into those times, that mountain is not as big as how magnified Jesus is in your heart. Because it is when he is magnified in your heart, you can now look to the mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. You don't do that by mental sense. There has to be a consciousness first for you to do that. And it comes in the place of feeding, eating bread. In Psalms 104 verse 15, it says, bread maketh the heart strong. The word of God makes your heart strong. In other words, when the times of fainting come, when the trials come, you don't just cave in. There is a matching strength to resist that trial. There is a journey ahead of us. But the investment of this time is very important. What you do in this time is very important, because the instruction is to bring all kinds of food. Come into the chambers of the Lord so that he can shed light on them. Because spiritual food is revelation knowledge, not books, not written words. He said the words that I speak are what?
Spirit and life.
Spirit and life. It is the one he speaks. That is Rhema. So the caution, the admonition as we go into the chambers of the Lord, as we continue in there, is to be deliberate. To be deliberate. Be deliberate. Don't let this time pass. Be deliberate. The Lord wants to invest so much in us. Be deliberate, because there is a journey. And it is too, as scripture puts it, say it is too great. In other words, if Elijah had not eaten, he would have been overwhelmed. Sometimes the Lord prepares us for seasons of our life by instructing us to study the word. Certain aspects of the word. There are certain seasons the Lord will take you into. But before you will go into that season, he will tell you to prepare by the word, so that you won't faint, so that you won't give up. And it was on the strength of that food that Elijah was able to walk 40 days and 40 nights onto Mount Horeb. We don't have time to analyze the distance, but if you go and look, you know it's not a short distance. He ate something, and that thing galvanized him. And it was in the secret place. This happened because it was where?
In the secret place.
Yeah, it was under a juniper tree. Right?
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Say, I will eat bread.
I will eat bread.
Please say it one more time.
I will eat bread.
I will eat all kinds of food.
I will eat all kinds of food.
For there is bread available for me.
There is bread available for me.
And there is food available for me.
And there is food available for me.
The Lord has brought me into his banqueting hall.
The Lord has brought me into his banqueting hall.
And his banner over me is
And his
Lord.
Banner over me is Lord.
He will divide his word to me.
He will divide his word to me.
And my eyes will be open.
And my eyes will
be open.
And I will become conscious.
And I will become conscious
of the things pertaining to the king.
Of the things pertaining to the king.
Because it is the king.
Because it is the king
that brought me into his inner chamber.
That brought me into his inner chamber.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen. Amen.
He can only speak of himself in this time. The king will speak of himself.
Amen.
You must focus on the king.
Yes.
You must focus on him. Be violent about the things. Because the things that are going to come are going to be useful. Internalize them. Because access to truth and light is not just the only thing. You must understand it and you must internalize it. Eli was saying earlier that what you choose to fix your gaze on is very important. Stay on that thing the Lord has revealed to you. And every day, go to it deliberately. Pray over it. Read it again. The things he has taught you, read it again. Then pray it into your life. Pray for more light on it. That is what it means to take heed to the word. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. There's a translation that puts it better. I can't remember.
Second Peter 1 verse 19.
We can't really go there because of time. But the instruction there is basically give due diligence to the word. Don't just read the one the Lord has taught.
We have more sure word of prophecy.
Yeah.
You want to read Amplified?
Okay, just read Amplified. We are flowing. Thank God for help.
Oh, thank God.
Hallelujah.
Let's see. This 12 o'clock.
Hallelujah. Second Peter
1:19.
And it reads, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it.
Do well to do what, sir?
Pay attention to it.
It's one thing to It's one thing to have access to the word. And it's another thing to pay attention to you. Because there's the mindset, God has taught me, it's now in my book. That our books are full with many things that have not entered inside us. Those are the things he's saying, gather. Gather those things. Gather, and bring them into my chambers in this time. So that I can break it. What was the instruction Amplified gave again?
Pay attention.
In Luke 8, verse 10, a picture is given unto us of the one who benefited from the food that was given to him, or the seed.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he, with patience, how did he put it?
He says that,
that
he
brought
he
forth
fruit
with patience.
Mm.
That means that thing the Lord is teaching is not, it's not enough to just jump from topic to topic. Be deliberate. Because it is meant to, the word of God is not just meant to be taken in. It is meant or to be consumed. It is meant to consume you. And that takes time. That takes deliberacy. You pray it into your life. You look again. Because what is happening is that you are eating and you are gaining strength. You are gaining strength. The life within finds stronger expression than the soul realm. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One more thing. Before we pray. One thing I believe strongly the Lord is going to be doing as we take heed to his instruction in this time. Let's jump to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 4. Someone is there, can they read it, please?
Verse 4.
Verse 4.
And by knowledge shall the chamber the field with all precious and pleasant riches.
By what, ma'am?
By knowledge.
By knowledge. That's Proverbs. Please read it again.
And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches.
By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The same chambers you are going into. Something can happen in there. And the Lord is telling you that if it's going to be empty, it is because there is no knowledge. As we were praying, we said that my people perish for what?
Lack of knowledge.
There is a chamber which the Lord is taking us into, but there's also the chamber of our hearts. There's the chamber which is the innermost being of your person. And the Lord, while he's taking you into his own, he's also coming into your own chamber. And what you are to do is to be deliberate. Take knowledge. Take knowledge that you can apply. Pray over it. Pray over it. Make it your reality. Make it the basis for your living in this time. Make sure it consumes you inside out. By knowledge shall the chamber be filled with pleasant what? With precious, with all precious and pleasant riches. One thing the Lord said to me in this period, that many will come out of this phase not just with knowledge or light of God's word, which is the primary thing, but many will come out of this phase with new ideas. That may mean a lot for different people. New ideas, new insights as it pertains to life, new wisdom as it pertains to life. Instructions. Be very careful. Be very careful of what the Lord says to you in this time. Instructions for the next phase, both as a corporate church and your own personal life. Take down those instructions. Take them down. Those are riches. In Proverbs 8, it talks about riches having more value, or wisdom having more value than multiple silver and gold. That it is to be highly esteemed than the riches of men. And when God's wisdom comes, what you have to do is to hold to it, because it is directive. It gives you an advantage. These are very, very important instructions. Things are going to be happening in this season, but we must remember that we are not of the world. The King that brought us into his own chambers.
Amen.
It is the King. Brethren, it is the King. It is the King. We are not ordinary people. We are not people of chance. We are not people of fear. We are not people of worry. It is a King, someone who is victorious, brought us into his own chambers. And he's dealing with us separately. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lastly, as we end today, I said prophecy has been guiding us, and Eli kept on saying something, which is Proverbs 6. Matthew 6, verse 6. Let's read that as we go into the place of prayer. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 6. And I want us to read it together. And so if you can help us. Okay, you're still typing. Okay. No problem. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, let's read it together. But when thou prayest,
enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret,
and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The charge as we went today is shut the door. Distractions. There are legitimate distractions that will come in this time. So you have to be deliberate. Shut the door. shut the door. Of course, discipline yourself and for those who are in school, please prioritize rightly. But make sure this time does not go without with you or without you spending quality time with God. No. Put time in your books. Put the quality time that is needed there. But make sure you shut the door. Because the Lord is going to be communicating riches to us, riches of wisdom, riches of faith. As Eli said earlier, it's a combination of the word and prayer. But the word comes first because that is what strengthens us. And as it begins to come to us more and more, we see that it drives us to the place of prayer. It says that as they spoke, he said, did our hearts not burn within us as he spoke with us? So there is a burning in your heart when the word of God begins to come.
Oh, yes.
What it does is that it drives you to the place of prayer. It takes you deeper into the place of prayer. I believe this is a time for us to ask the Lord for help. If the Lord brings more prayer points as we're going, but this is very crucial. If there's any place, because this has been ongoing already, but it gives us perspective to our attitude and what we ought to be doing now. Shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the door. Be deliberate. Be deliberate. Be deliberate. For some of us, the Lord is going to be communicating ideas. Ideas that are contrary to the current situation.
Shebrekada brusco, 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 shebrekada brusco